We are midway through Ramadan. How's it going? I know. There's a lot. But you know what? We're going to inspire you today with a woman who is just rising above no matter what, right? So if you're having a rough time, and she had all the pressures of life on her, like I know you do too, right? But you know what? It came down to choice. It came down to what kind of life did she want to live? She decided and she chose, and the rest is history. Let's go. Hello, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome back to the Mindful Muslim Speaks podcast, where we are trying to inspire women in Ramadan to be even greater than what they can imagine. And you know what? The truth is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't have you right where you are unless that's exactly where you were meant to be. Yeah, it's true. Oh my gosh, I made so many mistakes. Oh my gosh, I could have done this and this, but instead I did that. Yeah, I know. But you know what? Wherever you are, it's exactly where you need to be. And the next thing you need to do is just think about, where am I going to choose to go next? Because so much of the power of what you do next in this next week, this next 2 weeks of Ramadan, is in your hand. And no matter what happened before this moment right here is going to determine everything for how this Ramadan's going to go down in history for you. And you can choose better. And I'm hoping that today that we can inspire you with an important woman in history, Umm Habiba, Ramla bint Abi Sufyan. And for those of you who don't, you know all these fanciful terms, she was one of the wives of the Prophet. And her father was a very, very powerful person. And alhamdulillah, you know, she had made a choice to marry. And that person wasn't before the Prophet. You know, she was married and didn't work out. But you know what? She's like, oh, I'm a divorcee. Oh, my life is horrible. Oh, my father's like an evil guy. You know, we can stay stuck in what we know is our reality, or we can carve out our own story. And that's what she did. That's why I want to share this sister today. For those of you who don't already know, and they're new to the podcast, welcome, welcome. For those of you who are coming back, so glad to have you here. I am a licensed educator, mom of five, big sister to the community. My goal here is to have us have a space where women can feel safe. They can share. By the way, many of you guys have been enjoying Aliyah Omarian. She's been coming in Thrive and giving us some book readings. We're going to be reading a book. Our next book club has opened, like the registration for it. We're doing it right after Ramadan. Cannot wait. We're going to be reading The Power of Da'a. And for those of you who don't know, it's a space where we can actually like get together on Sunday mornings, 11 a.m. and we hang out and we read books. And even if you're not like a huge book reader, come for the drama, for the conversation, for the cries, for the laughs, for everything we do together to connect, be with other women. I'll drop the link below. But alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of you this Ramadan. So Umm Habiba, let's talk about her. In Mecca, things were getting really dangerous for the Sahaba at this time in history. Okay, they had already come out that they are Muslim, and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, what started as a simple grudge that people had in the town. And I want you to imagine, like their family members are the non-Muslims. So the Sahaba, a lot of people don't realize that they were kind of in this state of reverts, right? And the Quraysh, which is the big tribe in their town. It's like if everybody had one last name type of thing. And then everybody, all knew each other. And then like half of them became Muslim and half of them like, you know, whatever. And so subhanAllah, the grudge turned furious. And the attacks on Muslims started to increase. Like people were like, all right, we thought you guys were just playing around, but now this is getting serious. And the companions were being humiliated, beaten, locked up, and some even lost their lives for worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was that important and deep to them. And, you know, at first it was the poor or kind of like the people who were slaves at the time, because that still was there, who faced the fury of the Quraysh. But now even the companions that were noble, like they were just like, nah, we're not having it. We're not having this happen here. And they went after everyone. Now, Ramla bint Abu Sufyan is the daughter of the highly respected and famous in Islamic history, Abu Sufyan. And this is not somebody who liked the Prophet, peace be upon him. So this is how the story starts off. She's on the other side. She's on the side that's anti-Islam, the family who's trying to stop it all, right? And subhanAllah, I want you to think of us. couldn't you think of women who are maybe, trying to cross over and do things that their family, that they might feel is right for their life, but their family may not agree, right? So until now, she had felt a pinch of anger from the troublemakers of Makkah. She had accepted Islam along with her husband, Abu Baydullah, and was shielded by her noble status. So people didn't mess with her. She had just made shahada against maybe what her father would like. And she had this noble status. People would leave her alone. But then the idol worshippers no longer cared about her status when it came to torture. Faced with the unbearable pain of life in Makkah, her and her husband took the decision to travel, to leave Makkah and take the road to the new land towards Abyssinia. Following the advice of the Prophet, peace be upon him, they set sail towards the kingdom of Aksum, ruled by the Christian king, known for his fairness and kindness, and this monarch also known as the Najashi. Now, he offered justice and protection to everyone who looked for safety, regardless of their beliefs, and after many dark days in Makkah, there seemed to be a ray of hope. Now, here's the thing, though. She had a dream, and this is one of the famous parts of her story. Along the group of other companions, Ramla, who's Umm Habiba, and Ubaydullah, which is her husband, finally got to this kingdom of Aksum. And they settled there and they tried to build a new life. But, you know, even though they missed their home, you think about it, people are like literally making hijrah, leaving their life for Islam. And while maybe like you're not making hijrah right now, making hijrah for you might look like leaving things that are the old way that you don't want to be anymore. Leaving for you might not be like a physical leaving or a travel or a space. It might be you letting go of people you used to follow, certain friends you used to have, certain places you used to go, because you know the new identity that you're trying to carve out for yourself does not align with that old you. Does that make sense? And so she was struggling a bit because, you know, not only is she away from family in a new country, but, you know, there's all this uncertainty and she's trying to figure it all out with her husband, alhamdulillah. And here they are in a new land and, you know, having that moment of struggle, just like maybe you're trying to leave things. It's a moment of struggle, right? And as soon as a new bundle of joy would light up their lives, Ramla learned that she was expecting her first child. So she had this girl named Habiba. That's why her name is Mother. Habiba, mother of Habiba. That's why from the time of her birth, she became known as that. And one night in Aksum, Ramla woke up startled. So here she is, right? She has her baby. A dream was mysterious and disturbing, and it tore her from her sleep. In this dream, she saw her husband, Ubaydullah, appear with a distorted, ugly face. His features looked so odd that she could hardly recognize him. And the dream upset her so much that she tossed and turned, unable to sleep. Something told her that this dream had a message, a deep meaning that she could not figure out. She hoped with all her heart it was not a bad omen, but sadly, it was just that. Now, a few days later, Ramla, haunted by her mysterious dream, was lost in her thoughts about her husband, Ubaydullah, when he stormed into the room. The young woman noticed straight away something had changed in him. His once bright and full of life face seemed to have darkened. His usual gentle features had become hard and unrecognizable. He had a distant gaze as if he had lost himself, wandering in the depths of his soul. Ramla was correct. Her husband indeed had lost his way. His words were confused and clumsy when he spoke to her, but she got the gist. He had let go of the most precious gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him, his faith. So even though he had made shahada and like reverted to Islam, he decided to leave, right? He chose to leave Islam and cut himself off from the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. And right before her eyes, Umm Habiba saw the meaning of her mysterious dream come true. So that was it, she said to herself. But how could such a tragedy have happened? Nothing in his life suggested he would take a course like this. In a time when the whole of Arabia was worshiping idols, this man had the sense to turn away and chosen one God. So subhanAllah, like what happened here? She was confused. And he rose to the rank of companion by accepting Islam and moved to the kingdom of Aksum just to keep his faith safe. She always thought her husband would be extraordinary, but that was not the case anymore. I want to pause here in the story to say, you know, sometimes we have some riveting things happen in our life. We have people who we love shock us. We have people who we love disappoint us. We have people who we really just never thought they would take a turn do so. And, you know, we can't control what other people do, but we can always control our response. So I want you to think of yourself in a time where that might have happened to you, where you might have just felt crushed by someone else or by a struggle or an ibtilah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented to you, like this big test, and how it had you jarred at that moment. Like, let's imagine how she's feeling right now. She's feeling like, ooh, like I moved to an entire different part of the earth to keep my Islam, and my husband just left Islam. So here I am with a bit of a choice, right? Let's see what she does. For some reason, only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he let go of the most beautiful thing that ever happened to him, his Islam. To make things worse, Abaydullah even tried to convince her to do it too. But the young companion, whose heart had stayed clean and strong, refused. The couple went their separate ways. And shortly after that, he actually died in the kingdom of Aksum. So he died on leaving Islam, which is obviously not good. Now we can think of this woman's story, like I said, and we can think about how horrible it is. Here she is, a widow with a baby. And you know, women didn't really like work at that time. So what is she going to do? Her heart could race. She might be worried. She might be concerned about what's going to happen in her life next. But instead, you know what she does? She realizes what's the most important thing, and she makes an incredible choice. Now, not only had her husband lost out on the happiness in Jannah by leaving Islam, but he also separated himself from his family. He would never taste the joy of seeing his daughter, little Habiba, who had just been born, grow and flourish. Now, months passed and life in Aksum was peaceful, but hidden beneath the calm, Umm Habiba faced a storm of emotions, as we know, right? The young woman had lost everything, her family, her friends, her belongings, her homeland, her husband, who let go of his faith before passing away in such a sorry way. Umm Habiba now found herself alone with nothing and no one by her side, far from her homeland. Her only glitter of comfort was her daughter, Habiba. This sweet little angel was a ray of light in the middle of darkness surrounding her. One morning, to her great surprise, Umm Habiba woke up with a burst of energy as a soft smile spread across her face. She desperately tried to hold on to every piece, every moment of the marvelous dream she had just seen in her sleep. Memories took shape in her mind. She recalled a voice calling her from by a name she had never heard before. "O mother of believers," cried the voice. But Umm Habiba knew that only one group of women were called the mother of believers. They were the wives of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Maybe it was a sign of good to come. Far away in Medina, the Prophet heard about the terrible time Umm Habiba had through her challenges and patience that she had through every challenge. It touched his heart so deeply, he decided to send a message to the Najashi. "Indeed, the messenger of Allah sent a letter to me," said the king. He asked to marry Umm Habiba, the daughter of Abu Sufyan. What amazing news. Umm Habiba was over the moon, and yes, she said yes to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and became one of the mothers of the believers. To celebrate the wedding, the king of Aksum held a feast in the grand palace and invited all the kingdom. Now, I want you to know that even though Umm Habiba's story may have had an ending that we can't all have, right, to have this amazing status and this closeness, I want you to know that the lesson we have from Umm Habiba is her choice. She didn't get into the depths of difficulty. She was very strong, and she pushed through everything that came to her. Everything. It was her unwavering faith. That is what she is known for. And in a short span of time, she went from being alone and destitute to being embraced by one of the best people of humanity, the Prophet, peace be upon him, right? And she remained humble this whole time. Her humility was exemplified by her treatment of everyone who was brought near to her. She was a diplomatic person after many years struggling in Abyssinia and sometimes away from her new husband. Umm Habiba was united with the Prophet in Medina. It was there that she received the good news of the conquest of Mecca and the acceptance of Islam by her father, Abu Sufyan, and her brother Muawiyah. I mean, no one would think Abu Sufyan would ever become Muslim. Maybe for you, there's family members that you have that you want to be Muslim, or you think you need them to return to Islam even if they're born Muslim. Sisters, dua, du'a in Ramadan. She also suffered a great loss, though, when the Prophet, peace be upon him, passed away. When she was witness, you know, to that. And she witnessed the crisis in which the commander of the faithful, Uthman ibn Affan, was martyred, and she took no part of the conflict. In spite of her family ties with Uthman, she kept herself away from that furnace of crisis. And she also witnessed many crises after. So, you know, she had this ease, right, in having this protection as being a mother of the believer. But then after the Prophet, peace be upon him, passed away, she still suffered some more loss. And she witnessed the crisis that occurred between the leader of the faithful, Ali ibn Abi Talib, and her brother, Muawiyah, but she did not take part. So what you're going to notice is after she chose this new self of like, I am committed to Islam, sometimes things that happened that were really important to her, people she loved in her family that would harm her, she had to take a diplomatic stance. She couldn't be like, oh, well, you know, that's my family, so I have to like take off my hijab, or I have to like, you know, do this thing that probably Allah wouldn't like. She had an unwavering faith. And what I would say, my sisters, as you start this Ramadan to increase in your faith, I don't want you to look at it as optional when things get tough. She didn't do that. In the turmoil, she knew is the best to recognize that, you know, her place was to be on the side of truth with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And her incredible personality lit the path for all who came after her. From her, we get a glimpse into what it means to be a brave person in a storm of trials and come out on the other side with one's faith intact. It is Habiba's example that we should study when we feel ourselves better than others in whatever status, or we feel ourselves, you know, being trialed with things that could crush us. It is the example of Habiba that gives us the wisdom and the insight and how we can better handle divisions between kin, trials in life, people disappointing us, people leaving us, just being constantly tugged at our emotions, and how she constantly chose the right thing even though it was hard. She's a beautiful example for us as women. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give her the highest ranks of Jannah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to use her as our example of how we can choose every day, even though things are hard, to do the right thing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, sisters. I will see you in the next podcast. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.